here in the United States. The Bush administration has been carefully calibrating the way that it talks about the occupation of Iraq. The administration has sharpened its description of the war in Iraq as part of the broader war on terrorism. No hard evidence links Iraq to the September 11 attacks, though that did not stop Vice President Dick Cheney from raising some reported evidence during a television appearance 1 week ago. President Bush soon backtracked from that statement, but the president himself had gone to some lengths to link the war in Iraq with the September 11 attacks. This is what Mr. Bush said on May 1st, as he stood on an aircraft carrier declaring an end to major combat.
The Battle of Iraq is one victory in a war on terror that began on September the 11th, 2001, and still goes on.
That's a connection the president drew again this month in a speech to the nation.
2 years ago, I told the Congress and the country that the war on terror would be a lengthy war, a different kind of war, fought on many fronts in many places. Iraq is now the central front.
The president suggested that connection again during a radio address last weekend.
We have a strategy in Iraq and a mission. We will fight and defeat the terrorists there so we don't have to face them in America.
We're going to get two perspectives now on the fight for public opinion in the United States. The first comes from Peter Fever, professor of political science at Duke University and director of the Triangle Institute for Security Studies. Fever says the administration still mentions other reasons for the war, like the search for weapons of mass destruction, but mentions them less often than the threat of terrorism.
These were all rationales offered and weighed in public before the war, but it's clear that there's been a shift in emphasis as the campaign has continued. We could find Saddam Hussein sleeping on top of tons of WMD, and while that might make the rationale for the war in the first place look stronger, it wouldn't really deal with the question about should we stay in Iraq now in the face of what looks like a quasi-guerrilla campaign. So the administration is understandably shifting the emphasis to the arguments and rationales that address the choice that they're trying to sell to the American public now, which is let's stick it out and let's win it.
It is interesting, this distinction in people's perceptions between saying directly there is no evidence of a link between Saddam Hussein and the September 11 attacks, which is something that President Bush did say the other day, and a different statement that administration officials have said many times over the past year or so, which is more along the lines of, well, we just don't know if there is some terrible link between this terrible man and this terrible act.
The polls show that a majority, at least up until last week, I think the most recent poll shows now less than majority think there's a link between Hussein and 9/11. But for a year now, polls have been pretty clear that the public believes that there's a link. And many of these, perhaps even most, were basing this view on an erroneous belief that we had strong intelligence indicating this. And there's where you could say the president should have done more earlier to clarify that they didn't have a lot of intelligence linking it.
This week, one of the administration's harshest critics, Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy, accused the White House of fraud in building its case for war. But one scholar on public opinion issues argues that it is natural that the administration would focus on the terrorist threat as it tries to build public support. Carlin Bowman is a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute.
Nearly all of the polls that I've seen since 9/11 suggest that Americans believe that there will be another terrorist attack, and I think that's in the back of their minds continually when they're thinking about various foreign policy moves of the administration.
Why do you think that so many Americans ended up believing that there was evidence of a link between Saddam Hussein and specifically the September 11 attacks?
I think they were being asked about their beliefs, not what they know. I don't think most of us read intelligence dossiers. We just are thinking about a situation. We knew vaguely that Saddam Hussein had links to terrorists, perhaps not to al-Qaeda, but that he did have links to terrorists. And this is a very vulnerable moment in some ways for the American people expecting another terrorist attack. So I think the linkage issue was never as big an issue for the American people as it was, for example, for people in Britain.
As American casualties rise in Iraq, as troops find their deployments lengthening, and as unemployment remains high in the United States, public opinion surveys show support for President Bush slipping. Carlin Bowman says the White House has to consider all these factors.
I like to think about the issue of the war on terror, the situation in Iraq, and the economy is, it's a very simple analogy, but they're burners on a stove, and right now the economy is on the front burner at a full boil, but issues about the war and the war on terrorism more broadly are on the back burner at a sort of a steady simmer, so clearly the administration has to be attentive to both issues overall, as well as to the concerns, though these don't pop up in broad national polls, of reservists and their families and the extended deployments overseas.
But Peter Fever of Duke University says one key poll number has not dropped yet. Most Americans are still hopeful that the U.S. will prevail in Iraq.
Will we win eventually? That's the important one. The public will accept a price provided we're winning or eventually going to win. But as soon as the public believes there's no chance of winning, then those costs become costs paid in vain and they're not. The public won't support it.
And we're asking you to speculate here, but do you think that the administration might face pressure to declare victory and somehow get out of Iraq, or get mostly out of Iraq, by the presidential election next year?
I do think that there'll be more voices calling for that. That's essentially what Ronald Reagan did in 1983, and he still got reelected.
Pulled out of Lebanon after the disaster there.
Precisely, and that's what President Clinton did in 1993, and he got reelected. So
pulled out of Somalia.
There will be some political advisors who say that, I think that would be disastrous for American foreign policy. And I don't think in the end this president's going to do that, because he came into office absolutely convinced that this image of the United States as a paper tiger was a vulnerability. I think it's more likely, if the situation degrades to that point, it's more likely that he'll march off the cliff to electoral defeat.
Peter Fever is a professor at Duke University. We also heard from Carlin Bowman of the American Enterprise Institute.